B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show on a Friday. Game night. Sixers Hawks. 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. 4 o'clock on a Friday. Always a special time for everybody here and in the audience because the great number 36 joins us. Also brought to us by Landis Block. He is Brian Westbrook. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Misses game day.
It is game day. And we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the series is tied at 1-1. Mm-hmm. So first of all, your impressions of the 1-1 series and how the Sixers have played and what you expect tonight.
Well, quite honestly, I don't think the Sixers still have played their best game. I mean, I think they can be so much better than they played, of course, in game one when they got beat. But even winning, you know, by, you know, double digits last time, I think they can play better than that. And I think Ben can play better for sure. But as a team, they can play better. And listen, they took the Hawks' best shot game one. And they took it. They were close. They had an opportunity to win that game, but just couldn't pull it out. Now they have to do the same thing that they did in game two. And to me, it starts on the defensive end. They have to find a way to get the Hawks to not score 120 points. They got to be in that 100, right around the 100-point range, especially if Ben is not going to be the scorer that we all want him to be.
First thing, your impressions of game one, we were shocked that they allowed Trae Young to just go wherever he wanted. Yeah. And I thought they were ill-prepared, actually, defensively. What did you think?
Well, they tried to have a slower, older guard try to, you know, keep Trae Young in front of him. And obviously Danny Green wasn't up to it at that point. And when you have that type of penetration, Mike, you're susceptible to the lobs. You're susceptible to the kickouts. And we're talking about kicking out to wide open three-pointers. And that's why they made 23 pointers in game one. You're talking about guys that are Euro guys that are making wide open shots. That's what they got in game one. Things were a little bit different in game two because you weren't getting the dribble drive by Trae Young and the kickouts, and that made all the difference in the world. So they go from 20 made threes in game one to 11 made threes in game two. That's a big difference right there.
I love that. Yeah, they allow Euro guys that say you shoot open shots.
But don't you think that's their shot?
I mean, it is. Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly what their shot is. Set shot, you know, wide open and shoot. Uh-huh. That's what they do. And actually, when I listened to Mark Jackson, he was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
If you make them put the ball on the floor, dribble drive themselves, that's not their strong suit. And we actually had that a couple years ago when we had Saric and we had a couple of guys, the Euros.
Bellinelli.
Same exact thing. And their goal was to stand there and be able to shoot. If they had to be athletic and dribble drive, that wasn't their thing. And to me, when you look at game two, that's exactly what the Sixers did. Ran them off the three-point line and they were able to win because.
Yeah, it was, I thought, a very complete defensive game plan early on that confused him. Ben on him and then pushing him into others. It hurt them. Now, surprisingly, they made a run. They're better than I thought. They made a run. They showed some toughness. But in both games, Brian, this team has hit the wall. They almost collapsed in game one. They made a run in game two and then just collapsed in the fourth quarter. They're too young to win this series, in my opinion.
Well, I think they are, and they have a dominant player. Trae Young is a dominant player, but either way you look at it, to win these types of series, you have to have a dominant player like Joel Embiid, a guy that can get you 40 and just put a team on his back, you know, all over the course. But I think you're right when you talk about too young. They needed a couple more years of experience, and they almost seem like they're at a place where the Sixers were at a couple years ago where they have some really good pieces, but they still need another scorer, another guy that can consistently get them 20, 25 points a game. But they're not quite there yet. So to me, when I look at this game tonight, a lot's going to be determined early on in this game. How well Atlanta comes out shooting at home. We saw last night Milwaukee came out on fire at home in their first game. If Atlanta comes out on fire like that, it may be a long night. Defensively, we can step up early in the game. I think we got a chance to run away with this thing.
Yeah, I agree. Set a tone. Now, let's talk about the bench because they got rescued. He tried guys. He had Maxey out there. He had Korkmaz out there. All of a sudden, he calls on Shake Milton, and boom. What did you make of all that?
Well, so game one, Maxey comes in, plays well. and you're thinking automatically it's going to be Maxie. The key to a veteran coach, he said, okay, Maxie doesn't have it tonight. What's next? And they had the ability to go to Shake. And listen, Shake's not going to be a great ball handler. He's not going to be a great defender. What he can do, and what we've seen all season long, and this is how you build your confidence in your players, is Doc has said all season long, just go in there and get buckets. And that's what he's been able to do. That's what he was asked to do in that game, a game two. Go get buckets. That's what he knows. He can dribble drive. He can shoot from all over the place. So it was his natural role, and Doc gave him a chance. The one thing I loved about Doc is he didn't try to stick with Maxie and say, we're going to force this to happen. He switched it up. Okay, let's go to Shake. See what we can get some energy from there. And he just came in and did what he does best. So he played to his strength. He's did exactly what Doc asked him to do. And I think as fans, I don't know that we can expect that every single game, because there's going to be games where Maxie gets off. There's going to be games where Shake does his thing. And, you know, because we're one of those teams that still are trying to find themselves, especially with our second unit, we got to take what we get from either one of those guys. If it's Korkmaz, I guess we got to take for whatever we can get for him as well. But, you know, either one, I'm happy with that.
See, that's good and it's not good. Because and this is what I feared. Like, the exploratory process is still going on as far as the rotation goes, when the rotation needs to be buttoned down. So when they get to the next series, and I'll save that worry for the next series. But tonight, has Shake won the ability to be the second guy in behind George Hill?
I think you give him a chance, but I still believe that why hasn't he? I mean, listen, he was hot. If he comes in again another game hot, then you leave him in, you allow him to play. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't Doc stay with a hot hand? It's just like, you know, in football, the running back rotation.
Doc confuses me sometimes when it comes to that, because all of a sudden, like, Korkmaz will pop off the bench early tonight.
Yeah, that's confusing to me as well. But when you mentioned about us and our second team still figuring themselves out, in my opinion, that's because Seth Curry probably shouldn't be a starter. Danny Green shouldn't be a starter. Those are the guys that would have solidified that second unit coming off the bench and know their role, and we can be consistent every single game with them. But because they're starters, now we have to go a little bit younger. Maxie, same thing with Shake Milton as far as not being as consistent. And that's the reason why, because you have two guys that, in my opinion, should be coming off the bench as your starters.
Yeah. You know, when I think about it, Tyron, he's the ninth guy at best, because, you know, you first use Thybul. Dwight Howard's a sub, and you're not going to sub him before George Hill. So,
right.
Like, he's the ninth guy that has to come in.
Well, there's no points with that second unit. If yeah. it's not from him, who's going
to score? Well, that's what I mean. Like, so the ninth guy, hopefully they're able to score. They don't need that offense, because he's not going to get in before those other three.
Unless.
Well, Thybul's coming in for defense. Howard's coming in for defense. Who's going to be that guy that's going to get you points? You always have to have a guy coming off the bench that's going to get you buckets.
Well, yeah. I can tell you what my adjustment would be. They only play Capella. They have Gallinari playing backup center half mm-hmm. the time. They only play Capella. I move Ben and Tobias together with the second unit. I have Ben as my small ball five. I take Dwight out. And what I go with is I then go with Hill, Thybul, and Shake.
Uh-huh.
And Howard will play less in the rest of this series.
Yeah, he might do that.
That's what I would do. I would go smaller.
You can afford to do that in this series.
And then just go get buckets. And then what I have then is I can switch everybody. Or defensively, I can basically switch, not perfectly, but I can switch a whole lot better with those guys. I would actually play less Howard, at least in the first half. Now, as you wear down, because he's such a brute, it actually paid off late in the game. It hasn't worked out in either game early having Howard out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the adjustment I would make. And I would have Shake with the first unit. With that first bench unit, and then Korkmaz wouldn't see the floor at all.
Yeah, wow.
At all. I can't.
Listen, you and I both can't. But I'm telling you that this guy likes to throw him in there in hopes that he gets something.
But the problem with the hope.
He did hit a three. He did hit a timely three in the last game, too.
Man, he threw up a couple of air balls. Man.
Yeah, the game one, he hit a three.
Last game, he was horrendous. He was minus 11 in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
He blew the game up when he's in the game. Like, I can't trust it.
Yeah.
For every 1 3 he makes, he'll give up another three, getting sucked in on defense, and then throws up air balls.
But Ty, when you're the number one seed, when you're a better team, and I think we're completely honest in saying that the Sixers are a better team.
Yeah.
Isn't round one and round two where you see a little bit better, where you can say, okay, we can use more guys in these rounds because we're just a better basketball team? And then we're gonna narrow down that lineup as we get to the third round.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal. But I don't think they know. So I think this is going to be like a continuing experiment because they have no other choice but to make it a continuing experiment. Listen, if Shea comes in tonight and delivers like that, well, then he's earned some reliability. And then you go, okay, my 9-man rotation is this.
Mm-hmm. But how can we say that Doc has made so many good decisions, putting Shaq in and leaving him in? Maxie, that first game, you know, played pretty decent. And then we say, okay, well, he just continues to make a bad decision. Maybe that's part of his plan just to see, though. I mean, why would we think?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good plan just to try to see. You know, it's desperate, really. You're just hoping that somebody comes through in that position. And I'm not blaming him because that's probably the way he's got to play because nobody has owned it.
Well, that is exactly the way that you have to play. You have to see who's going to be hot that night. You saw the first game, Maxie was hot. Second game, Milton was hot. And, of course, you're going to continue to put Korkmaz out there because we talk about Euro shooting threes. I mean, that's his game. Shoot the three. Stand up and shoot the three. And if he gets hot, you know, you're talking about 9-10 points right there in a hurry.
Don't even tease me this way.
Oh,
man.
Come on, Mike.
Why you got to do that?
Let the kid shoot.
Seriously.
He's a shooter.
He's a hoister. He's a hoister. Sometimes they'll go in. And like 9 out of 10 times they won't go in. And Doc remembers the one that went in and he keeps running them out there.
I believe you. I believe you. Speaking of hoisting shots, I was listening earlier. Yeah. And I could not. My kids are like, why are you laughing so hard? I said, because Mike told me that his shot was the runner, the floater.
Yeah, I would shoot a floater. I would get into the painted area and shoot that little jump shot that Ben doesn't shoot. But I had to have space to get, you know, so I would get to a spot where I knew I had space.
That was your spot, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
You got some video of this?
Well, listen, man, I know you find it hard to believe. I was a precocious young basketball player. And I got diverted. Baseball diverted me, and my height diverted me.
Well, Mike,
because
you know,
I knew I wasn't going to go.
That knew you.
What's that?
I ran into that guy that knew you, and he told me that you were one of the best athletes in his area. I was like,
I could fire.
Okay.
So I could fire, but I was smart about it. Like, I wasn't about to challenge dudes. Like, I played against good guy, you know, guys that could play, like, you know. So I knew that I couldn't do a lot of things that they could do. So I would make sure I got to a spot. I was quick enough to get to a spot and get off a little jumper.
That's John Stockton.
Or get to a spot and ball fake and get a flyby so I could shoot. That's what I did.
That's exactly.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to calm myself into thinking I was going to take it to the glass on somebody strong, you know.
You don't pull like a... Like Bruce Brown did last night.
With KD and
Kyrie. Hold on, I got this.
What are you doing, bro?
The worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So Mike would have said, all right, you know, I know my limitations. This is what I'm going to do.
Pass the ball. Yeah. That's not what you're there for.
Yeah, but see, like, you know, Brian, like you had a desire. Like, I was lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So basketball then became... Like, baseball suited me more because basketball became what I had to really put in an effort to defend somebody.
Yeah.
And I did to a point. You know, I played, but I did to a point, but I knew I wasn't going to take that anywhere.
So you played like Korkmaz.
Well,
like, Korkmaz's not going to really defend anybody. You were a hero.
No.
Ahead of your time. You're not going to play defense just like no Euros play.
I wasn't, I didn't work hard enough at the game itself to really. Be great at. You know, I mean, I was a good player. I played on that team that lost the state title game. But what I'm saying is that baseball overtook because baseball to me, I could like it fit my desire level.
And you know? Didn't have to be as athletic.
Yeah,
that's a big part.
Yeah.
Right. Also, for people out there that think that when we say Euro, I think it's clear. I'm trying to think the best way to say this. Rudy Gobert. Doesn't count. Schroeder for the Lakers. He doesn't count when we're saying Euro. That's the far as I'll go.
Schroeder's from Germany.
Yeah, he don't count.
Why doesn't he count?
He doesn't count.
He didn't play college basketball
like
here.
Because he doesn't play like a Euro.
We're talking about more of a style, not just a...
yeah, like but Nick Batum does not count as a Euro.
Wait a minute. So here's where you're going with this.
Well, I'm saying I'll just leave it there.
If you're a black Euro, you don't play like a Euro.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it is.
There are
now explain to me TLC.
T- TLC tries to, he can't shoot it a lick. He tries to dunk on you. That's what I'm saying. He's not a Euro. TLC also not a Euro. It doesn't count as a Euro.
But also no skill.
Well, that's different.
He's a bad Euro.
Yeah, right. He's just a bad Euro.
So a good Euro would be, well, you put Batum in there as a good Euro?
But in his day, Batum was a good player.
Tony Parker, Schroeder.
Tony Parker's not a Euro.
He's a Euro. Yes, he is.
But he's not really.
Why isn't he?
Doesn't his play, father what is I mean been, is he doesn't play the Euro game.
No, but he's
Tony
still
Tony Parker was dribble he's driving, still, playing he's defense. Athletic he wasn't Euro. A Euro. They don't count. The only Euros, the only true Euros, are the ones that shoot and don't play defense. We know who they are. Bellinelli was a Euro. Ilyasova is a Euro. Even Dirk, Euro, just the greatest Euro ever. Man, Rudy Gobert, not a Euro. There's Schroeder. That's not a Euro. Just because you're from Europe doesn't make you a Euro. He's not a Euro. He's dribble drive and he's steam you up. That's not Euro. That's not the Euro game.
Hey, Ty, let me ask you a question. I'm thinking ahead. Are we going to get anything out of George Hill? I mean, are we past the George Hill thought process at this point? I really believe that he could be a stabilizer for that second unit, but I thought he could get us, 10, 12 points a game. Is he going to be able to do that?
That's going to be about the spot of shooting. He can, he shot 39% from three last year. We haven't really seen that, but he also has played a lot on the ball. By having Shake, you can maybe do pick and rolls with him and get him spotted up. I think
he's not the same George Hill.
No. As last season.
He's not. I think it's another year tacked onto him. And so, yeah, I hear you, Brian. He seems to be a little timid, too. Maybe it's because he joined the team too late. He doesn't have that playoff mindset that I've seen him with other teams that where he could be a little bit of a killer.
I think something's coming. Just like
I hope
Shake,
so.
I think something's coming. A mirage from George Hill.
I hope so. So, all right. So now we are kind of broken away from this conversation. Brian, Tyrone, and you've been listening to him for a long time. Somebody just said he's the most rule-oriented, persnickety guy that I've ever heard. So you heard his rule there with, because Connor, who was sitting in with us today, dating women, and he has to go to work early, so he makes sure she leaves the house.
Of course, yeah.
I'm not an of course on that. Tyrone is a guy that says that she if you can't trust her to stay in the morning, you can't let her stay during the evening. Mm. And I think that's too far, because to me there could be a transition period where you appreciate the evening attributes of the woman, but you just don't trust her around your stuff in the morning.
Yeah.
So if we go way back in the B West, B West territory, did you have rules like this? Tyrone's a hard and fast rule man. Were you a rule man when it came to that?
Well, I had rules, but I was also no one was staying in the house when I wasn't there. Nobody was doing that.
Correct.
We had to be in a serious, serious relationship. And I think there's a big difference between hanging out for a night or two and dating, right?
So yes.
Dating, then I guess right. We kind of have a good feel for each other. And maybe I'll allow you to stay if we're dating. But if we're just hanging out for a night or two and we're just casual friends, no, you can't stay at the house. Now, I didn't have a problem with enjoying our evening and hanging out, and then you staying, and as I leave, you're gathering your things and you're leaving as well. Absolutely. But I had no problem saying, hey, what are you going to do next? What's the next activity you're going to do as we leave here? Because we're both leaving at the same time.
So you made it clear.
Yeah.
You're leaving at the same time.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what Connor did.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
the same thing.
Tyrone is saying
that's fair.
You can't even go that, you can't let her stay if that's going to be the case in the morning.
Well, yeah, I mean,
see, that's something. Doesn't that go too far?
No, I think that goes way too far, because sometimes the night bleeds into the morning, and I can't put nobody out at 3 a.m. I can't do that.
He's saying you cut it off at 11. He's saying?
No. The night goes longer. Well, basically, what it is the pillow is for me.
You don't have more than one pillow?
I'm saying that any pillows are for me are trusted person. If I don't trust you, a pillow's not going to be involved in your stay.
What, is she on the couch?
Right, so
no, it's good. That was 11, 3 or 5 a.m.
I'm going to give you an equation. It is cold-blooded, but that's what Tyrone is. They're cold-blooded. He's got no give. So here's my equation for this. Because I believe that the sleep time body wrap is wins out over the risk of theft in the morning.
But Mike, you're not allowing them to stay when you're gone, are you?
I would allow her to leave at her leisure, but you know, like within, like when she wakes up, and I have to wake up early.
We're in 2021. Connor's dating in 2021. Things are totally different now, and we're not just talking about theft. We're talking about taking pictures and all different types of crazy things these people are doing.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. You can't let them in there for four extra hours.
What are they going to take in your house?
You got a watch or two?
You got hidden gold somewhere?
I got all my money in the world under my mattress.
Well, do you have a baseball glove? What are they taking?
Do you have a roommate?
I got two roommates.
So what's she going to do?
But they don't know her. They're going to be uncomfortable seeing a stranger in the house. So.
They can actually report to you on when she's leaving.
I'm not having them spy on the poor girl.
You're not being fair to the roommates. You don't want the roommates to wake up and have Sally from Sunday still at the house.
What's the problem with Sally walking through the living room with her stuff and leaving?
They don't know Sally.
Why?
I don't know. It's a stranger to them. I might know her a little better.
Barely knows Sally.
I know her a little bit.
Just let the roommates like that.
I don't know. That seems to be a checks and balances of whether she's going to take anything.
What if you're one of the roommates and you're meeting Sally at breakfast? What do you say?
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I guess you're leaving now. Good meeting you.
Yeah, they're not my security, They're not my security.
What's she going to do? Pull up a chair? Hang out.
Hey, you weren't going through my man's stuff, were you?
Exactly. Can you
empty your pockets?
Video games back and everything?
Hey, what you doing with that PlayStation? Going taking it to your boyfriend?
I'm Connor's Jeff Bezos. You can take his wealth.
That's a good point.
PlayStation 2.
And in my games.
616-3209-75 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get up there. Twitter poll 4:30 brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Connor Thomas with it. Cat Towner.
Thanks, Mike. Our Twitter poll of the day again. People can disagree on what Ben Simmons needs to do offensively to win. What will Ben do tonight versus the Hawks? Leading the way with 67% of the vote is still attack the rim more. And second place with 32% is remain hesitant to shoot.
Well, yeah. He's going to, I'm telling you, I put a bet down today. I never do this. I do an individual prop. I never do that. But the Ben Simmons over under tonight for points, assists, and rebounds is, what was it, 28.5, Tyron?
Yeah.
28.5.
Yep. Would you go over?
Over.
I would go with that.
Over. Right?
I mean, 10-10-10. Yeah, we win.
Okay. Yeah, he won't go 10-10-10. I'm thinking he goes 18-8.
18-8 gets it done.
18-8 and 8.
That gets it done.
Or even less than 8. 18-8 and 7-6.
That gets it done, too.
Gets it done.
Yeah.
What happens to Ben, though? I mean, because when Joel's not there, he's much more aggressive. Does he say, okay, Joel's there, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to let him do his thing. I'm going to let him get his buckets and play the game the way that he wants to.
I don't know, man. Listen, getting in that dude's head is probably,
hard.
It probably is very difficult to circumvent. I don't know. Like, three shots to me, you get three shots in a game and you're Ben Simmons. I go, there's something wrong with that.
it makes me think, you know, of course, when Joel is there, we know that that's 30 points walking out the door, mm-hmm. right? So that's when Ben picks it up. But he has opportunities when Joel goes out early in the game to be that guy, to go to the bucket. Mm-hmm. And there are times that early in the game, he'll go to the bucket two times in a row to begin the game. Boom. And I'm saying to myself, okay, perfect. This is the type of Ben we want. If he gets 4-6 buckets per quarter, that's 20, 24 points right there.
Yeah.
You know, but he can't consistently do it. And there's parts of me that feels like he gets bored and complacent in games because they keep giving the ball to Joel Embiid to get buckets
with possible.
What he obviously needs.
It's possible. All those things are in play. Yeah. All right, I'm enjoying a cup of coffee right now, Brian, and people at home can see. It's from a bean to bean.
Okay.
That's B-E-A-N, the number 2, B-E-A-N. Now, Father's Day's coming up, right? Pops love a coffee, and they love a bourbon. So the people at Bean to Bean combined it. They have six-month-aged Batch 88 bourbon whiskey coffee beans. And you can make fun. In fact, I got it right here. I got the box. It's a beautiful box here.
It's a nice-looking box.
I'm putting it into TV. Bourbon coffee, bourbon whiskey coffee. So you grind this up. It's flavored with the bourbon. It's great coffee, and it's the perfect gift for Father's Day.
I like that.
Right? Don't forget that. Dad, get him something to enjoy all week long. It's bourbon whiskey coffee at bean2bean.com. They have free next day delivery for everyone in Philadelphia, and not only that, National Bourbon Day is next week. So if you love bourbon, love coffee, then the new bourbon coffee beans, Brazilian beans aged 6 months in Kentucky bourbon barrels, roasted locally, delivered right to your door 7 days a week. Now that's fresh. Check it out. Free next day delivery, or you can get it at any DeBruno's location or online at bean2bean.com. All right, back to the phones. EJ in West Philly. EJ, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
What's popping, EJ?
I tell you what's popping, good brother. Big things is popping and little things is dropping and all that Atlanta talk is going to be stopping tonight, good brother. I'm telling you, I'm super confident and I believe that the Embiid is unstoppable, and we proved that while we don't have an answer for Trae Young, we definitely have a way to slow him down. And, you know, Mike, first of all, I wanted to say, Ty, what you said about Trae Young was perfectly in effect, and it even goes better for you with what you're doing in radio. Brian Westbrook, you're probably the greatest player to come out of Villanova since Howie Long, and I don't know what I love most, the Giants run or the Minnesota screen pass in the playoffs. Thank you for everything you did. And good brother Connor, look like you're going to have a lot of problems keeping women off of you, because I'm watching one more video right now. It's so amazing to see the looks on y'all faces when the people give y'all the comments. Mike, your face is golden, bro, because I'm watching you on video as I talk to you now, and it's funny to watch y'all facial expressions. It's hilarious, bro. It's hilarious. But as Mike, you know, for 25 years, I've been a mental health worker and psychologist. You know, I was good friends with AI. I partied a lot with these superstars. And I want to give you my psychological professional breakdown of Ben Simmons and what the problem is. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Can I do that? Give me a second.
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, what people have to realize, he was delivered to us as a number one draft pick and a savior and a cornerstone of this franchise. That's how he was sold to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely frustrating to have a 6'10" athletic freak who is stronger, faster, and has more basketball skills than most of the small point guards who are guarding him. We do not care about your jump shot. All we need for you to do is go aggressively and strong to the basket 10 to 15 times a game. We are so frustrated with you driving to the basket, and because you are so afraid of getting fouled because you can't shoot a foul shot, you're 2 inches from the rim and kick it back out for a three-pointer. I just don't understand how people who defend Ben Simmons and call us haters for having these legitimate criticisms. We love his defensive ability. We marvel at his playmaking and passing. All we ask is when you have a 6'1" guard on, you take him to the basket. And why can't you do that? Especially when every time I go to a game, Mike, or every time I watch the highlights pregame, he's practicing free throws and he don't miss.
Yeah, and he's practicing jump shots too. Yeah, I hear you. EJ, that was very well delivered. Very well delivered. So, but you don't think they have a problem from this point on, right? In this series?
I'm going to say this. I need Meek Mill's, Little Uzi Vert, and all the Philadelphia celebrities who have moved down south like the plague to step up in Atlanta tonight, like Quavo and all those other rappers to step up in Philadelphia. That's what I want first.
Is Meek down there? Tyrell, Meek moved to Atlanta?
No.
What?
No, Quavo and all those famous rappers were in Philly on Wednesday and Sunday and all in the front row with their jewelry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we need Meek Mill's, Little Uzi Vert, Kevin Hart, and all the celebrities in Philadelphia who have houses and homes in Atlanta to step up tonight and show them the same love that was showed to us.
Listen, I like it. EJ, check it in. Those guys all have houses in Atlanta?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think he was one of the guys because there were a couple of rappers or celebrities.
Kevin Hart have a place in Atlanta?
No.
There were a couple of people that came up from Atlanta up to Philly.
I know they did. So he's saying Meek's got to go down there tonight.
Yeah, he got to
go down
there.
Well, he should. I mean, Michael should be riding shotgun with Michael Rubin.
Well, maybe Meek can just stay home.
Maybe Robert Kraft could go down with Michael Rubin.
Yeah,
they can pile up into new Bentley.
If he would just
drive down there.
Stay home.
You're down on Meek right now?
Yeah.
Tara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the car stunt and everything, maybe I would prefer if they would just... He would just stay home.
How about the dude, the old white haired dude with the banner? You want him down there?
Oh, no, he can go.
He can go?
Yeah, he's a fan. He can go. He usually
manages to grab one of those seats.
Well, he's a wealthy man.
Yeah.
He's done well.
He knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
All right. Wesley, West Philly, here on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, Wesley?
Good. I want to play devil's advocate a little bit, right? Because before the series, if you would have gave me like a percentage, I thought the Sixers would win, it was probably like 90-10. Now I feel like it's more like 60-40, right? When I say devil's advocate, if I'm looking at this objectively, like let's say you're not somebody from Philly, somebody from Atlanta. If I look at the first two games, playoff ball is different. If I look at the first two games, and Mike, you said this before, when you get a big lead, what tends to happen to the team with the big lead? They relax a little
bit. Yeah, they relax. The other team comes right out.
Now, when it got to about 6, they flat out started choking. But from 26-6, they relax. And then I look at game 2 and I'm like, if this one dude off the bench who didn't play the last 6 games didn't score 15, they might be down 0-2 with Embiid averaging 40. So, yeah, I still think the Sixers are going to win, but I'm slightly nervous.
Well, listen, it's all right to be nervous, but like you got to look at this part of it. The Hawks were incapable of closing out a game. They just were. That's an indication of a team's age. You know, they like,
couldn't even get the ball.
Yeah, they hit a wall in game 2. After they made the run, I go, wow, look at this. They're tougher than I thought. And then they just hit a wall. And the Sixers just took control. So, I mean, that's happened twice now. So I understand, like, their home court is going to be an advantage for them. But, the same personality applies. The better team usually can close out better than the young upstart team.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But, you know, I'm thinking of the Bucks of just the last few years who just ran rapid.
I think Atlanta is a nice team. They're actually a nicer team than I thought. And they play well together. But, you know, there's something to be said. Like, you need a guy that can pull you out. You need a guy or two that can pull you out of jams. Once they got into a jam, they were done. And I'm talking about the jam, end of game jam. So, I'm not worried about the Sixers winning this series. I think they win tonight. I think it's a key win for them. All right, we'll take a break. It's a quick break. Oh, Magic Johnson came in. Right now he came in?
Yeah, about 2 minutes ago.
Magic Johnson now is the latest national guy to pick the Hawks to win. Just win the game tonight, not the series?
He's taking it all game to game. He didn't make any pick in the series.
Oh, he's taking Atlanta to win the game tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 446. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Ball game tonight. That's a good way to spend your Friday night. Yeah. You don't have to go out. You hang in. Have a little dinner. Have a couple of cocktails. Nestle in for a game. What's the Brian Westbrook weekend like?
Well, Sunday is my oldest daughter's birthday. So Bria's 8th birthday is on Sunday. So tomorrow.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, 8th birthday. She wants cash, which I'm like, what do you need cash for? Where do you think you're going? Yeah, you know, cash.
Uh-huh. What?
You better ask for a toy or something like
yeah.
that.
So I don't know what the protocol is these days for parties or anything. Yeah.
No party. She got a brother and sister. They have their party every doggone day. So they better go downstairs and enjoy all those toys that I bought. So we're going to take her to Legoland tomorrow.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Legoland will be fun.
Yeah, that ought to be fun. It's like it's not actually Legos, but it's more like an amusement park.
So yeah.
Take them to that and, you know, listen, give them cake and some ice cream and happy birthday.
Oh, well, good. Good for you.
Great day to me.
All right. Sounds good. All right. By the way, Tyrone, a little update on the 2020 Euro. Italy just pounding Furkan's country.
Oh, he's beating up on
top. Oh, 3-0 the Italians over the Turks.
Yeah, that's a tough one for
man. Tough way for Turkey to open.
Yeah, against Italy, a seasoned team.
Korkmaz usually be around to help him, but he's occupied currently.
Yeah, maybe he should try that sport.
Hey, dude, Turkaloo almost scored for Turkey.
Came up a little short, just like he did against the Lakers in the finals.
He hit it over the crossbar, unfortunately. All right, let's go, Bill, in Northeast Philly. Bill, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Bill?
It's Phil. I actually called
Phil,
you.
Phil, what's up, Phil?
Yeah, I called you guys earlier this week after we went down 0-1 and basically said I really didn't trust the team.
Uh-huh.
We were untested.
Yep.
And now that, I mean, game two did show me that we are able to take a punch and fight back, which was encouraging to see. But, I mean, I'm still not fully sold. I want to see what we do tonight. And mainly not sold because of, number one, like you said, the whole Shake Milton thing, I think earlier this week kind of called it luck, which it is kind of luck, but it's still good that he did and we step up when we need him to. And number two, I still don't trust the roster. But other than that, I would like to see kind of what really happens down there.
Why wouldn't you, the roster accomplished something more than other teams did this year, right? They finished with the number one seed. I mean, you gotta at least allow for that. Their roster apparently was good enough to get the number one seed.
No. We're an adequate team. We're a good team. We're not elite in my eyes because of what Brian said. We got two bench guys starting basically for us and a bunch of other things. But,
yeah.
I mean, I respect us as a good team. I just want to see. I just want to see more. That's all. I just want to see more.
Yeah, okay. So if they win tonight, are you convinced they win the series?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
So tonight is the you'll call back Monday and go, you know, I'm convinced now.
Unfortunately, yeah, I'll call back Monday.
Why unfortunately?
I still don't trust it. I don't trust. We're in a race for second. I don't trust the path to Nets, but I'll still get on board. I'll get on board for this series.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Your opinion is what your opinion
you
is.
You lose.
I don't know what's going to happen in the Eastern Conference Finals either. No. I can't get a read really, but I don't have to right now. You know, I want to look at how this team progresses past this series. Now, if they lose tonight, which I would not expect, if they lose tonight, they're probably in trouble.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I think they just win
game
on Monday.
Three, and then you're playing catch up, and then you have to square the series.
Yeah, you win Monday, Wednesday.
They're strong at home. I mean, you know, so they'll be 3-2 leaving Philly, right?
Yeah,
I guess even if they get it to a game seven, they can't. You know, they can't lose a game seven here.
I think if they lost tonight, they still win in six.
Okay.
I think they win three straight games. I think tonight and the next two games they win.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that too. So, I'm just saying if they lose tonight, you know, losing an odd game puts you in an uphill climb. Nate in Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nate.
Hello, how you doing today, man?
What's up, Nate?
Hi. I was calling in and talking about the Sixers game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In the series, I believe that we will beat these guys. I'm tired of hearing these Atlanta guys talk about basketball. They just now getting in the room to talk about basketball. The Sixers been there. One thing that...
Dude, you got to turn your radio off, Nate.
One thing that bugs me is that...
Nate, you got to turn your radio off. I hear it in the background. It's messing you up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I've always heard you, but I was hearing the feedback. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
The center that we had from North Carolina, why did we get rid of him?
Oh, no. Tyrone, play it. Oh, Tony Bradley. Yeah, Tony would have made such a difference in this series. Oh, it was just a colossal mistake. Come on, man. Nate, come on. Come on with the Tony Bradley.
All right, moving forward.
All right, go ahead.
Hill, he's a veteran, and he do what he do. But I believe that we would have been fine with Tony Bradley because we need him for B to get rest on that knee.
Yeah, you don't need Tony Bradley in this series.
Okay, well, that's my opinion.
Yeah, you don't need Tony Bradley. Embiid is dominating. Like, what you needed every bit of Embiid dominating, so you couldn't afford to have Tony Bradley in there for Embiid. Come on.
But his knee is messed up, though.
What do you mean he's messed up? He's 39 and 40. What's messed up about him?
Okay, well, we need to rest him a little bit.
Well, you can't rest him in a series you're trying to win. Where are you going to rest him? You're going to lose the series?
Well, we're going to win because of the simple fact that every time we need someone to step up, they step up.
I'm glad that you feel that way. Now, you went astray with me with the Tony Bradley thing. That wasn't well thought out.
No. We don't need another reserve.
No, you don't need Tony Bradley. Come on.
You know.
I thought that was gone for good. It's not, apparently.
Embiid gets you 40, Mike, and it's still not going out.
Yeah.
Now, Booney.
You need more rest. So you only need 28 from him because you got to rest.
Booney says that you're, for the first time, I've never heard this before. He thinks you're being too nice to the Tony Bradley callers. Booty is like, no one's ever said Mike Miss is too nice until today. Booty thinks you're not being harsh enough on Tony Bradley.
I tried to mock it as best I could.
He also doesn't think Ben's going to get 18. He thinks he's getting 11 or 12 tonight, so he's worried about the bet.
He's worried about the bet?
Yeah, because if he only gets 12, that means you got to still make up this.
8-9.
Ben lulled him to sleep last game with his 4 points.
Right.
Now he's going to go
12.
Out there and get you.
9 and 8 still gets it for me.
Yes, that does still get it.
12, 9, and 8. I think he's scoring more than 12.
I think so, too. I honestly do. I think they're going to shift the defense and they're going to try to double and be more aggressively, maybe sometimes without the ball. They have done that, certain teams, and left Ben completely open. Like, just say Ben, do whatever. At that point, if no one's covering him, I do think he attacks. And I wouldn't be shocked if they go to those lengths to try to stop Embiid because they can't do it with just Capella.
Ben gets you 15 tonight. I would put good money on that. He gets you 15 tonight.
All right. I like it. Meanwhile, Italy just closed them out. 3-0 Turkey. I feel sorry for those Turkey players.
Yeah, that's going to be a short stay.
Like, when they get home, it's worse.
No.
That's what I'm worried about. Forget the short stay. Come on, man.
I got you.
All right. Seriously. That prime minister don't play in Turkey.
No, he doesn't.
All right. Sorry. Brian, listen, man. You have a great weekend.
All right?
Thank you. And happy birthday to your little one.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Here he is, Brian Westbrook. Let's take a quick break. We got the 5 o'clock hour ahead on Mike Masnelli Show continues after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.